Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, and so grateful just to gather and worship to our great God. If you're a guest, as Pastor Chris shared, we're so grateful that you're here, and we'd love to hear from you. If you've never connected with us, you'll see some connect cards in the back of some of the seats around. We'd love to just hear from you. We promise not to show up and be at your doorstep unless that's something you're desiring along the way. But we'd love to share in prayer and just in any way that we could be of service to you. If you fill those out, you can leave that with one of our guest services team as you leave, and they have a gift for you there. Again, super grateful that you're here, and it's a great time to jump in. We are early in a sermon series called Traveling Light as we are walking through the book of Exodus, and we are just a few weeks in there. And this whole book, really, and this journey is a story of how God delivers, directs, and dwells with his people. I like the way one pastor said it, that God is at work, and he is making a praising people for the promised land. And we're going to experience that. And sometimes along that journey can seem long. And what I know about you and what I know about me is that we don't like to It's painfully awkward, isn't it? Yeah. We don't like to wait. We don't like it in any way. You know, I think about we pull up to a red light and someone's in front of us and maybe they're scrolling on the phone and the light turns green. We don't like to wait. And what I need from you guys is, as followers of Jesus, man, we want to be soft honkers in that moment, like the posture we have. Like a minute, you know, it's just kind of like a, hey, and just kind of wave at them, you know, smile, look, because sometimes you're on the other end of those moments. You know, we don't like to wait. You can kind of take yourself to the DMV waiting room, you know, and you're kind of hanging out in there and you go up and you get your number and it's like, B47, and then the next person that's called is like A12, and you're thinking about that. You're like, there's 100 people, right, or more in front of me. You're thinking of those kind of moments. Like, we never really enjoy the wait. It's just kind of the reality of who we are. We call sometimes maybe for support for something, and we love those automated messages, right? And the message starts out something like this. Your call is very, very, very important to us. And we need to let you know that right now and last night and any other time you ever call, no matter what time that is, we're experiencing a very high call volume. And you just need to know that you are number 47 in the queue. And it's estimated that it'll be eternity before we answer your call. Right? It's just kind of how we roll. Now, we'll do anything to keep from waiting. That's just who we are. We don't like waiting. And it seems like we have less time than ever before. And sometimes in the midst of life, we kind of land in these spots where we're in the midst of life. And it feels like, man, even God's timing can just feel a little bit delayed if we're honest, right? And there's moments like when we're going through hard times, moments where maybe we're suffering, moments where we're going through difficult moments. And if we're honest, right, we ask those questions in our prayers, in our hearts, like, God, where are you in these moments, right? What are you doing? And do you see me? Do you hear me? And this is where we find Moses in Exodus chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 11 through 25 today. And so you can take your copy of God's word and turn there. And what we see, like last week, we saw the birth of Moses, and things are going to fast forward in a hurry. It's going to say Moses grew up. And what that means, what we learn in Acts chapter 7 is Moses is 40 when that happens. And Moses is going to grow up. He's going to try to help his people. And we're going to see that not go very well. And he's going to find himself in the wilderness for 40 years. That's where we're going to really see him today. Moses is going to be in the way. He's going to feel like his mess is too much and that he is of failure, that maybe his time of service is over, that he has gone too far. But man, we're going to see Moses is waiting, and we're going to see in the wait that the wait is never wasted, and that our great God is faithful, and that God was at work while he was waiting. And really the title this morning is God is Working While You Wait. So if you'll stand with me in honor of reading of the Word of God, his infallible, holy, inerrant Word. We're going to read those verses together this morning. They'll be on the screen. We'll read those. And when we finish, as always, you're going to see Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, come up on the screen. And we would love for you just to say that verse together with me at that time. So beginning in verse 11, the scripture says this: Now it came about in those days, when Moses had grown up, that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labors, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that, and when he saw there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. He went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other, and he said to the offender, "Why are you striking your companion?" But he said, "Who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and said, "Surely the matter has become known." When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had several daughters, and they came to draw water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Then the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When they came to rule their father, he said, "Why have you come back so soon today?" So they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds. And what is more, he even drew the water for us and watered the flock." He said to his daughters, "Where is he then? Why is it that you've left this man behind? Invite him to have something to eat." Moses was willing to dwell with the man, and he gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses. Then she gave birth to a son, and he named him Gershom, for he said, "I have been a sojourner in a foreign land." Now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. And all together, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Will you pray with me? Holy God, we're so encouraged as we read this scripture, Lord, that God, Moses may have failed, but you weren't finished. Lord, we see, God, that your people, Lord, were in bondage, and you saw them. God, you heard their cries. You remembered your covenant. God, you knew their pain, their hurting, their need. God, I know that you see us in this moment. God, and I pray that you would minister to every person here. God, I pray that in the power of your Spirit, God, that you won't allow, God, what may feel like a time of waiting for some of us, God, that we know you won't waste it. God, that you'll use it. God, it can be a time of preparation, a time where you are at work, God, and we trust you. And we ask, God, that you might work in our midst, Lord, to conform us to the image of your Son. Lord, that you might send us all out on mission for the glory of your name. Lord, and if there's someone here that's never responded, God, to your mercy and grace, Lord, we know that, God, your promises are true. God, that you've provided a way of salvation through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, through faith in Christ and what he's done. God, not anything that we could do or anything we've done, but what has been done in Christ. And Lord, we pray that if someone doesn't know that this morning, God has never responded to your gospel, Lord, that they would respond in repentance and faith and pass from death to life, being born again into the family of God. And we promise to give you praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. So here's this reality, right? God is working in the wait. And if God is working in the wait, point number one, we want to surrender to his preparation. When we read of these scriptures and we think about the way that God works, God desires to work through his people. God works through his people, but God, before he works through us, he works in us, right? We read in Mark 3 that Jesus would appoint, he would call his disciples, and he would appoint them and desire them. He would call them so that he could be with them and so he could send them out to preach. And so we regularly are reminded that what we do for God and what God does through us is a result of what God is doing in us. And so we see that before God works through you, he works in you. And so we see Moses in this text, and we want to be people who surrender to God's preparation, to his work in our lives. Now we see in this text that Moses had grown up. Again, that was about 40 years. We read of that in Acts chapter 7, verse 23. And so we see Moses in those moments, he has grown up, and he goes out and sees his brethren, and he looks upon them. In verse 11, he sees their hard labor, and he comes across this Egyptian that is beating one of his Hebrew brothers. Now, when he sees this, what we understand, and maybe there's been moments where you have seen someone being oppressed, you have seen or heard of maybe someone abusing a child, or you've seen something that has really caused a stirring inside of you. And when Moses sees an Egyptian beating this Hebrew, his heart, I believe, is racing. He is tired of seeing his people suffer. He is through. And in those moments, right, in a split second decision, without thinking it through, the scripture says that Moses looked around, right? He looked right and he looked left, but he didn't look up. And we see that his response, right? And we can do that. Like if you're in a place where you're thinking about doing something and you're like, listen, young people, if you're like, hey, my parents aren't home, I'm thinking about doing whatever this is, right? And I'll just cover it up, right? I'm going to delete my browsing history, and I'm going to make it like this never happened, right? You're thinking those kind of things. We're going to see Moses, right? He looks right, and he looks left. He looks around, but he doesn't look up. And when you're in those moments, and you're saying, man, I need to look around, and I'm going to make a decision as to whether I'm going to do it, I'm going to encourage you to look up and remember that there's a God who sees. We're going to see that at the end. And Moses, in that moment, he looks right, he looks left, right? But he never looks up. He throws a punch, the Egyptian falls, right? We don't know everything about what happens in those moments, but Moses, I believe, in those moments suddenly realized what he had done. He realized he's killed this man. There's an overwhelming sense of just reality in that moment. His heart's pounding, sweat's coming down his face. He's panicking. He's like, what am I going to do? And so he does the only logical thing. He says, there's some sand here. I'll just bury this dude and nobody will know, right? This kind of sweeping under the rug. I'll cover the evidence. I'll delete the browsing history. I'll do whatever it is, right? I'm going to go in that direction, and hopefully nobody will know. But what we see, right, Moses responds. He responds in a sinful way. He took matters in his own hands, and he goes out the next day. He sees two of his Hebrew brothers fighting with each other, says to the offender, he's like, hey, verse 13, why are you striking your companion? And the Hebrew guy asked him, he says, who made you, and this is a great question, right? Who made you a prince or a judge over us, right? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? So Moses is scared, right? In those moments, he understands he's been caught. Pharaoh finds out. We see this moment where Pharaoh finds out. Pharaoh's coming after him. His past has caught up with him. What has been done in secret now is revealed. And just like that, Moses flees Egypt, right? He gets out of that place. I believe Moses had sent this calling, right? He was trying to stand for his people. I believe he understood God wanted to use him in a way. And there's this reality, like his mother would look on him and see that he was beautiful and there was purpose. And we don't understand everything about all the pieces along the way, right? But Moses knew. And in those moments, as he flees Egypt, he is going out of his calling, out of the place that he was in, and into the wilderness. And we find him sitting at a well. He is weary in those moments. He is overwhelmed. He feels like he's gone too far. I've blown it. And what we see, right, is that God is still working. And Moses is going to find out, right, that God is faithful. Listen, we all are filled with moments of failure. None of us get it right, but we have a God who is faithful. So we surrender, right, to his preparation. And when I say we surrender to that, the sooner that we recognize that God is working in the wilderness, that he's working in these places where maybe we aren't seeing it, we want to understand that, hey, God is using that and he is shaping us in those moments. And we want to submit our lives and surrender our lives to be conformed to the image of his son. In James, we read, if anyone lacks wisdom, right, it's talking about trials that have come in your life. So if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. This is the moments that we need to submit our lives and surrender to God's work. God, what are you doing in my life? Number two, we submit to his process. Because what we understand is that God often uses the wilderness not as punishment, but as preparation. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times, right? We read in Numbers, there are times where the wilderness is discipline for God's children, right? And the Father disciplines those that he loves. But in the midst of the wilderness, God often uses it not as punishment, but as preparation. Now, when Moses gets there, we see that the priest of Midian had seven daughters. And they come in verse 16. We see they come to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds come, drives them away. And Moses stands up to help them and waters their flock. So this time we can see Moses, God is at work in Moses' life, right? God is growing Moses. And so instead of Moses responding and like taking out all the shepherds and killing them, right? We see that he stands for these ladies, that he drives away the shepherds. And before, Moses' actions had to be hidden, right? He's covering up. He's kind of burying this guy in the sand. And now he stands up publicly. He defends these daughters. And this time, without a cover up, God is working in him. God is working through him. Verse 18, these daughters go home and their dad is surprised they're home so quick, right? That's what we see. He's like, oh my goodness, you're already home. How in the world are you home so fast? And so what we're seeing, I believe, is this was kind of a repeated thing that these daughters were going through. They're getting there. They're drawing the water. Out comes these wicked old cruel shepherds, jerks, right, that need to be elbow dropped or whatever, right? That's how we feel when we see oppression. And it should stir our hearts. We should have compassion. We should be moved in those moments. And so Moses is moved in those moments. I believe that they're experiencing this every day. And so they're drawing this water. They're getting it together. These shepherds are coming in, taking and feeding their flock and driving kind of the daughters out of that. And then they're having to go through this process again. This is what it seems like we're seeing in this text. But he says, hey, how are you back so soon? And she says, this Egyptian delivered us, verse 19, from the hand of the shepherds. And what's more, not only did he run them off, right, but they had drunk the water, they had done that kind of thing, they used, and he got it all back together for us. And so Moses is learning to be a servant. Moses is being shaped in this time in the wilderness. And he's protecting, he's serving. And when Jethro hears this, right, when Reuel hears this, the same person that we're seeing there, this prince of Midian, when he hears this, he's like, this is the kind of guy I want in my house, right? Like, if you're a dad out there and this guy protects your daughters, takes care, serves them, is honorable, he's like, why didn't you bring him home? Like, go get this guy, right? And he'll have a meal, because there's not, most of them are playing video games in their mom's basement at that age, right, at 40. He's like, come on, we've got to get them. This is the kind of thing we want to have around. And so here's where he's at. So he says to his daughters, does this, Moses comes, says, invite him to have something to eat. Moses, in verse 21, he says, Moses was willing to dwell with the man and gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses. Then she gave birth to a son, and he named him Gershom, for he said, I've been a sojourner in a foreign land. Now, God is going to use Moses as this deliverer. He's going to raise him up. But before he could use Moses to lead a nation, God's going to let him serve a family. He's going to raise him up. Moses, he thought his calling was over. He thought that his mess was too much, right? He thought it was done, but God was going to prepare him in the wilderness. And we're going to see next week, we're going to see God reveal himself to Moses. We're going to see this calling, and God's going to use Moses in an incredible way. He's 40 years old when he flees Egypt. He's 40 years old. He's grown up in a palace. He's had the finest of things. He has been treated as a son of Pharaoh. He's been just in this incredible moment. He's had the best food. He's had all the things. And now here he is in the desert with a bunch of sheep. Because God's going to prepare him, right? Why do you think it's always sheep, right? Because the sheep are the dumbest animals, right, of all the animals, right? And it takes I mean, it's hard. They don't listen. They do dumb things. They're scared. I mean, we could list like a bazillion things, right? We see the little video, right, where the sheep kind of gets in the crack and he's in the mess and the guy gets over and pulls him out and then immediately he just jumps right back in, right? That's sheep. And what we understand is that's also us. And so here Moses is going from a place where he had servants to where he's serving sheep. From leading in the palace to leading a bunch of sheep that don't even listen to him. And I can imagine that this is probably not what Moses had in mind. Like when Moses thought about his life and the way that all of it was going to come together, he's probably like, this is not what I pictured. This is not where I thought I would be. This is not the plan. And right, maybe some of us recognize that. Maybe some of us feel that way. Like you thought maybe by this time in my life, I would, and you could just fill in that blank. I would be whatever that is, right? And you could think about those things and where you're at now, you feel like you're just in this time of waiting. And maybe you're asking like, God, have you forgotten me? Where are you at in the midst of these moments? But what we're reminded today, right, is that God often uses the wilderness, not as punishment, but as preparation. Before Moses could lead people, he's going to learn to lead sheep. God's doing something in him. And then he's going to do something through him. This is how God works. You know, I read about the children of Israel. I've heard people say that the reason that they had their time in the wilderness wanderings, and we'll see some of that as we go further in the book of Exodus, is that God was getting Egypt. He had gotten the people out of Egypt, but he had to get Egypt out of the people. I've heard several pastors say that. And I wonder if this wasn't similar for Moses, like God is getting Egypt out of Moses, so then Moses can go back and lead the people out of Egypt. And what hit me in this text, when I think about waiting, if we're honest, like when we're in the waiting room, it's all about me in the waiting room. Like there's 147 other people in front of me in the DMV office, but my biggest concern is like when my number, right, is going to get called. I mean, it's just kind of how we think. That's kind of how we are. It's just the way that we work. But Moses waiting, it wasn't just about him. It was about what God was doing, what God was going to do for his people. And what we see in this text is that in the waiting, God's promises are still at work. That's what I want us to see, right? We submit, right, to God's purposes, but we stand. Point number three, we stand on his promises. Look in verse 23. It says, now it came about after the course of those many days, another 40 years. That's what that just said right there, just so you know. Like when we read this chapter, like we don't want to read by this too fast because this is a lot of time. Man, this is a lot of time. And if Moses was 40 in verse 11 and another 40 years goes by, he's 80 years old when he gets in the game, right? Really, like when God is at work. So that should be some good news for all of us, right? And so there's some important things we don't want to just read by. It says the king of Egypt died. So the one that was wanting to kill Moses is dead. This is going to give him the opportunity to be able to go back and not have this guy trying to take him out, right? And so the sons of Israel sighed, scripture says, because of their bondage, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. So God, verse 24, heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the sons of Israel, and he took notice of them. And there's a little moment that stirred my heart as Chris was talking about Cade and this. He said, why do we have to convince God? Like, it is that kind of groaning. Like, I need to repent. I need Jesus. I'm desperate for help. That's the cry of a heart that God hears. That's the groaning that in our response in salvation. And when God feels missing, man, he is at work. And when I see this text, right, and we can't miss this in these last few verses, God hears. Man, and it's this picture of groaning, and it's not necessarily the words. Like I recently started going back to the gym, and I figured out that, like, if you skip leg day for 25 years and then start back, like, a few days later, you groan. Like, you're barely able to wiggle, right? And it's not that kind of groaning, right? That's not what we're talking about, right? This is a groaning of the heart. Right? It's even a silence, but it says that this this made him, right? That it rose up to God and that he heard. Like when Cade called on Jesus, he said, God, save me. It's a groaning that God hears, right? He hears and he's not indifferent to his people, right? He hears the cries. Our prayers are not unheard. And he remembers. And listen, when we read God remembers, sometimes we're thinking about, like, we forget everything. Like, I forget so much. Like, I asked Scott Cummins if I could share this as part of a sermon illustration. I didn't share it in the early services, but Scott serves us so faithfully in so many ways. But one of the things Scott does is he fills up the baptismal pool regularly for us. And so on Thursday, I'm riding back from Asheville, and I get a text. Actually, somebody was with me got a text that band practice was going to be kind of regrouping that night because there was a flood in Crossover. And so while we may not realize it, so Scott is filling the baptismal. And what I know about when you fill the baptismal is that it takes a while. Like, there's a lot of water in that baptismal, right? So it takes a while. It takes a long while. And so Scott's filling that, and he's doing some other things, and then he goes home. And I don't know exactly how long after that, but evidently it was a pretty good while. He remembered. and Scott said, when I remembered, where is Scott right here? You're in there, right here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And Scott remembered. And when he remembered, he started scrambling. He started calling. And by that time, the water has overflown, right? It is out of the bounds of the baptismal. And by the way, this part, this area where you're sitting is the cleanest area in this whole area. Man, it's been cleaned, it's been vacuumed. And here's what Scott received, right? Now, Scott remembered. God doesn't remember that. He remembered his covenant. And what it means is that God was fixing to act, right? He remembered his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it wasn't because all of a sudden, hey, the Israelites had been so good. It wasn't many of those things, right? And it's the same way with us. It's not because we're deserving. It's not because we've been so good. And all of a sudden, God remembers. Listen, God remembered his promises, and he is faithful. It's not like Scott remembering, oh, my goodness, I forgot my people were over there. No, nothing occurs to God. He remembers, but he remembers and he acts. And listen, when Scott told me that, he received great grace. He received great grace because here's what you need to know. Clark and I had the responsibility of filling the water in the baptismal one time. And we kind of forgot to go check it in time. And not only was this area of Crossover clean, so was that back corner of Crossover clean. And what we understand, right, as we journey on this life, we all fall short, but we have a faithful God that remembers his covenant, that remembers his promises. God hears, he remembers, he's going to act. What we see in this text, God sees, right? Don't you love that, right, that God sees? He sees the place that you're in. When I see and I'm around people that are going through difficult times, you know, this week I stood by the bedside of a dear saint that had been desiring and waiting to go home and be with Jesus for a long time. When I would visit her, she would say, I'm ready. I don't know why God has me here still. And she was in a nursing home in those last days, right, was in a place where she was confined to a bed. And I'm sure in those moments that the wait seemed long. But I'm so grateful that when I gather in those moments and when I hear difficult medical diagnoses and things that people are going through, that we have a God who sees and a God who knows, right? We have a God who is not distant from his people. He cares. He sees you in your waiting. He sees us in our suffering, and we can rest and trust in the promises of God. We can know that we have a covenant-keeping, faithful God. We have a God who, right, his promises, and we could list them for hours, right? But we have a God who, Hebrews 13:8 says, we have a God who will never leave us or forsake us. It ought to do good in our hearts to know that. Deuteronomy 31 says that the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you, and he'll be with you. He will not fail. He will not forsake you. And because of that, we don't have to be afraid. We have a God who, as we kind of finished out Genesis, I think it gave up. My mic may fail, but our God will never fail. He is always faithful, right? He is always on time. He is at work in the midst of this world. As we finish Genesis, right, we have a God who works all things together for good. What the enemy meant for evil, God meant it for good. Romans 8, 28, we know that God works all things together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purposes. We've got a God who will supply all of our needs. We've got a God who is the supply of all of our needs. When we read Psalm 23, the scripture says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And literally it says, "I have everything that I need." That's who our great God is. Philippians 4:19 says that he will supply all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. We have a God who gives strength in our weakness, right? Those who wait upon the Lord. Isn't it good news, right? The prophet Isaiah said, those who wait upon the Lord, they'll renew their strength, right? They'll run and they'll not be weary. They'll walk and they'll not faint. They will gain new strength, right? 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." God will finish what he started. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will see it through until the day of completion in Christ Jesus. Listen, we all mess up. We all overfill the baptism. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. Everything in this world will fail, but my God will never fail. And his love, it's unchanging. His love for his people. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Neither height nor depth nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come. None of that. Listen, there's nothing, neither death nor life, right? Nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And good news, church, there's one day we're going to be appraising people in the promised land because Jesus keeps his promises and he is coming again. In John 14, verse 3, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go," he said, "I'm going to return and I'll come, and when I do, I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." And in the hard times and in the suffering and in the difficulties, Revelation 21, we're reminded that he's going to wipe away every tear, and there'll be no more sorrow, and there'll be no more death, no more crying, no more pain. Listen, this is the promises of our faithful God. We struggle right now in the wait because I want to experience all those things right now. But we know that we have a God who is faithful, a God who sees, a God whose thoughts are higher than ours, whose ways are higher than ours. Listen, God is faithful, and it will be worth the wait, every bit of it. God is not just making you wait. He is shaping you while you wait. And sometimes we wonder, like, man, I stand on that graveside sometimes in those weary moments, and I say, "Lord, God, what are you waiting on? God, just come, Lord Jesus. Come." And there's those moments, man, where we feel that in the depth of our soul. I felt it this past year in times of mourning, in times of hurting. I said, "Lord Jesus, come, man. We're weary. God, what are you waiting on?" And I believe the answer is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Maybe Peter was engaging that same question, and he said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some would count slackness or slowness." He said, "The Lord's not slack concerning those things." But he said, "He is patient," or the way I memorized it growing up was that he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we wait with hope. Jesus is coming, and he's going to make all things new. And we wait with purpose because he desires us to be on mission for the glory of his name till he comes, sharing the good news of the gospel until the last one will surrender their life and say, "Jesus, save me." And maybe he's waiting on some of you. Maybe there's some of you this morning that have heard the good news of the gospel, and Jesus has been calling you and you have been delaying your response. Listen, the scripture says today is the day of salvation. Would you respond to the good news of the gospel that Jesus died a sinner's death in your place and offers you eternal life in Christ? God doesn't waste anything. Some of you may feel like you're stuck in the middle of the waiting room and there's all this mess going on around you, but listen, God's at work. Will you trust him while you wait? Because the good news is God is faithful. Moses wasn't finished because God is faithful. Israel wasn't forgotten because God is faithful. And God is not finished with you because God is faithful. And his delay, long-suffering toward us, his delay is an act of mercy and grace. And so if God's been calling, would you surrender to him? Listen, you don't have to have a four-paragraph prayer. But if your response is that groan of the heart that's just crying out, God, I'm desperate, I need you, save me. A declaration of complete and total dependence on him. Our God hears your prayers. Would you surrender to him? And if you're in the waiting room, if you're weary in the midst of this life, it's not wasted time. God is working. He is faithful. And I promise you, the wait will be worth it one day. Will you pray with me, and we're going to sing and respond in worship. I hope some in surrender and maybe some in repentance and faith. Father, we thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. God, we cry out this morning, come, Lord Jesus, come. We long, God, to be made new. We long to no longer walk in the suffering and the difficulties of this present world. But God, at the same time, Lord, we look around this world and we see so many, Lord, that are lost and without you. God, people that are close to us and far from you. God, people maybe even in this room. Lord, they've known about God. Maybe they've known about God their whole life, but Lord, there's never been a time where they've believed and trusted in you. Turning from their sin, Lord, in repentance. And calling on your name, Lord, that groaning of their heart, God, save me. Maybe there's somebody in that kind of posture this morning. We invite you to come. Maybe like Carmen, you come and kneel on this altar. Lord, I remember just asking her that morning, Carmen, how can I pray for you? She said, I surrender. She shared this week, she said, being born again is so great. She said, it makes you want it for everybody. She said, I don't just feel different, I am different. Praise be to God for his amazing grace. Maybe some just need to come and say, I surrender. Maybe there's some that, like Landon, you say, you know what, I've surrendered my life to Jesus, but I've never gone public in baptism, and today I desire to take that step of obedience. And however God speaks this morning, would you be obedient? Maybe you're here and you're just weary. Maybe you're a believer who's been in the waiting room and just, man, feeling like it's taken so long. And this morning you're reminded that God is faithful. And he says, come all you who are weary, who are heavy laden, and in me you'll find rest. Lord, help us come. Help us respond. And we'll give you praise because you alone are worthy. In the strong and mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Will you stand with me? And we lift our voices to our faithful God. And would you be obedient as he calls this morning?